My brother just read there in Psalm 135, praise ye the Lord. Is that what you want to do?
Amen.
That's what we want to do. If you're a child of God, you will. Job said, the Lord hath given. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, the Lord's given, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord had to give something. We're thankful for everything the Lord's given us, and we're thankful for what He takes away for us on this earth. And you know what we see through that, through seeing Him give us things on this earth, temple things. Things don't really mean nothing, does it? It's all going to burn. It's all going to go away. And the things He takes away from us in this earth. Do you know what we see if we're His? He's given us Christ's righteousness, and He's taken away our sin. Our guilt. When we're brought to there, blessed be the name of the Lord. Boy, we'll praise Him then, won't we? We just sang that, a shelter in the time of storm. He is. He's a shelter, our shelter always, but we see Him when it's in a time of storm. We see Him in a time of storm. We can understand something, but we don't really grasp it until we experience it. I've got a real heavy, thick coat at the house. And for the last 14 months, it's hung in my closet. And I ain't needed it. And I'm thankful I didn't need it. And I knew that jacket keep me warm. It was about -2 the other day and windy. Ice coming in sideways. And I put that jacket on, and that jacket kept me warm. I understood it warmed me, and then I experienced it warming me. I hope we can see that tonight. What the Lord sends to us, what He gives us and what He takes away from us in this world, makes us look to Christ and makes us experience His sufficient grace. So many times I've heard a preacher or a pastor bring a message after a horrible trial. And I wonder, does the Lord just bless them more, or am I paying attention? Probably a little bit of both. Listen a little more intently. Oh, I wonder if I have something special this time. I told you all before, a few weeks ago, when we got out of Romans 11, got out of Ephesians 3, and started there how we walk in this world, I prayed for a humble spirit. That's the spirit we must have for these gifts that the Lord gives us to walk in a way that honors Him in this world. And I said, Lord, make me humble. And I thought it began then. It wasn't just a day or two later. It was one after another. Some for my brethren. And a couple different trials for me and my family. And I thought, this was it. Lord humbled me. Boy, I didn't know what's coming. He keeps bringing us down. All the way down to Christ's feet. That He's the only one we see. As Paul told the church in Ephesus, he said, He exceeding abundantly more than I thought or I asked. Graciously. And I saw Him at the end of it. And I can tell you with confidence, not with an understanding, I can tell you with experience, trials are gracious. That's the Lord being gracious to His people when He sends them a trial. We don't think so. But that's an act of grace towards His people, an act of love. And there's so many believers right now in heavy, heavy trials. And our gracious, loving Father sent them to us on purpose. On purpose. And it's for our good. And we'll be thankful at the end, I promise. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to Brother Luke's message. He touched on Numbers 21 there, where the children of Israel were bitten by those serpents. And you know what they asked Moses? They said, Moses, you pray to God that these serpents be taken away from us. Was the serpents taken away from them? The Lord sent a brazen serpent. Paul prays here in 2 Corinthians says he's prayed 3 times that this thorn in his flesh would be taken away from him. Lord, I have a thorn, I have a serpent in this flesh. Take it away. And the Lord didn't. He didn't take those serpents around those children of Israel out in the wilderness, and he didn't take it out of Paul. And there's many times I've prayed for thorns in my flesh to be taken away, and they haven't been. They haven't been. But what was needed was given. Why did Paul have this thorn in his flesh? He begins there in chapter 12, in verse 2. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. He's speaking of himself. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. He knew him well, didn't he? He knew him. He didn't understand. He experienced. He knew well enough to tell these brethren. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful. It's not possible. That's what the word means. For a man to utter. Paul was called up to that third heaven. I've dwelled on that a lot the last week and a half. It's not lawful for us to speak of these things. It's not possible for us to speak of these things. To be in the presence of Christ. To be without sin. To see our Redeemer face to face. To worship Him as He deserves to be worshipped. Be with our brethren. That are just like us. Made just like Christ without sin. We can't even enter into that. It's not lawful. It's not possible for us to think on these things. Why? We're in this body of death. We're in this sinful body. That's all we know. Our greatest imagination on these things isn't even a drop in the ocean. It's not possible for us to understand that. And Paul got to see it. Paul was took up there. He saw this. And he had abundant revelations given to him. So much understanding. So much wisdom. So much knowledge of Christ. Almost like unlike any man had ever walked. He'd seen so much. Had so much to tell. And an ability to explain it to him. And the Lord gave him a thorn in his flesh. He says in verse 6, For I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or he heareth of me. For those around him, those that heard Paul, those that looked at Paul in his physical body, they heard him preach to them. For their sakes, Paul was given this thorn. And he says in verse 7, And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, through all these things I have experienced, well, that'd be something, wouldn't it? To experience what we have to come after this world is over. After we close our eyes in death. What an experience. And for those around Paul and for Paul himself, lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the measure of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I think of this as something I did. Lest I think it's something I earned. Or I'm just so special that this great thing happened to me. A messenger of Satan was in his side to buffet him. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. 3 times Paul begged the Lord earnestly. Earnestly, take this from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. During a trial for a believer, whether that's a temporal trial, a temporary trial, or a lifelong trial, whether it's a leaky roof, or you just have a nerve pain from birth that won't stop. You have some type of hereditary disease that won't let go of you. When we are brought low enough to look only to Christ, we're given rest. We're given comfort and we're given peace. And we know that His grace is sufficient for us. It's sufficient. And that's during the trial. That's while it's taking place in the heart of it, in the heat of it. He comes to us and we're just crushed. Weeping. No energy left in you. And you see Him. And He says, My grace is sufficient for thee. After that trial is over, Once there's some calluses on those scars, our wounds have healed, then we're taught the lesson of that trial that He sent us. We're still looking to that same Jesus, the same one whose grace was sufficient during the trial. After the trial, we're still looking to Him. But we're matured a little bit. We come through that trial. And once it's not as painful, we're made to see that Christ's strength, His mercy, His grace, His love towards us gave us that trial in the first place. And that's exactly what brought us through it. His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. What's that mean? It's exactly what we needed. It's sufficient. It's not lacking. It's not missing something. And we got to make up the difference. He gave us enough to get the ball rolling, and now we got to keep it rolling. That's not what that word means. It's sufficient. And it's not overly given. It's like you take a young child and drop them off in a candy store. Say, eat what you want. Well, they're going to come out of the belly ache. That's not overly given. It's precise. It's exact. And it's wise what He gives us. His grace is sufficient. It's appropriate. And I'm not talking to everybody that's alive. This ain't people driving up down the road. This ain't everybody walking up down the street. I can't go around and comfort people and say, Christ's grace is sufficient for you. It's for His people. That was clearly laid out to you on last Sunday. There in Ephesians 1, just as plain as the nose on my face. God the Father purposed to save a people. The Son purchased those people with His blood. He lived for them. He died for them, and He rose again for them. And the Holy Spirit comes to us, gives us life, gives us a new heart, gives us ears to make us see Christ. We see our sin that we were convicted of sin. We see His righteousness, and we know we're convicted, convinced, assured that all judgments took place. It's all been satisfied. He satisfied it all, every jot and tittle. Anything that's required of a sinner to be saved and to be in the presence of God, Christ did it for His people. He abounds towards us. And you know who that's to? That's to you, Bob. To me. He did that for me. To you. For His people. Individually, the Spirit comes to us. Though. You who believe. Why do we need these trials in our lives? Couldn't the Lord just come in and just made everything hunky-dory? Just come one day come to us and that's it. Life's just peachy, smooth sailing. Health and wealth. He could have, couldn't He? He could have done that, but it wasn't wise to. He gives us these trials, sends us these pains, these afflictions, these tribulations to show us, to prove to us that His grace is sufficient. You think He knows His grace is sufficient? It's His grace. Of course He does. We are made to know that. There in Deuteronomy 8:2, it says, to prove to thee, to prove to thee. What's proven to me? My faith? His faith's proven to me. My strength? His strength's proven to me. His grace is proven to me. And all these things are sent by God. It said there in Deuteronomy 8:15, He brought Israel through the serpents that were there and the scorpions. Who sent the serpents? He did. The Lord sent the serpents, didn't He? And He said, I brought you through those. Well, that was a trial He sent so He could bring them through. We see our weakness. We see our fallen nature. And we see that second Adam, Christ our King, looking to Him alone. There in the garden, it wasn't just that Adam fell. Adam fell. Sin was imputed to me. I was born of him. It was imparted to me, and I acted on it. The second breath touched these lungs. I lied from the womb to come into this world. But it wasn't just that Adam fell, was it? That's bad enough. I fell in the garden. Me, this becomes personal. Sometimes the Lord sends trials to a congregation, to all believers throughout a nation. But more often than not, they come to us individually, don't they? He comes to where we live. And he meets us. He makes us see our weakness, our fallen nature. I've said this before in foolishness, but the Lord doesn't give you more than you can handle. Boy, that is not the truth. That's a bold-faced lie. There ain't nothing he can give me I can handle. We can't handle anything apart from his sufficient grace. Without the grace of Christ working in us, we can't even breathe our next breath, much less handle that war that's going on inside of me, that battle between those two natures. It's raging, whether I'm sitting by myself on a beach somewhere not talking to nobody, or I'm up here talking to you, that warfare going on, that trial that's forever living within me. His grace is sufficient for that. So turn over to Romans chapter 5. You that have an interest in these things, you that the Lord's done a heart work in, we rejoice in the Lord of our salvation. How thankful we are. He saved us. He purchased us. He preserves us. That's something to be thankful of. That's something to rejoice in. Be happy with. That holy God we sinned against, we're made one with. At one-ment, atonement was made. Oh, how to be thankful. But knowing this knowledge of salvation is in Christ alone, looking to Him, seeing what He's done for us, how fast I get comfortable. How fast I get lukewarm. I'm complacent. What a shame. What a sin against God for me to be such a way. Why would I do that? That's my nature, isn't it? Brother Clay sent me a thing a couple weeks ago, and then I heard him use this illustration, and I thought only a child of God could look at something silly and see how corrupt they are in it. But he had a video of somebody had a beaver inside of a home. And it was Christmas time, and they were grabbing presents and wrapping paper and taking it to the tub. They were trying to build a dam in the bathtub. Why would it do that? That's its nature. What's my nature in this flesh, in this body standing right here, this dirt made of Adam, to run from God, to hide from Him? We're brought once more to see our weakness, our sinful flesh, and then to have our pure minds stirred up. We keep running that bathtub like a beaver, don't we? And then the Lord comes to us in a trial, and He stirs up our pure minds and makes us trust Christ alone once again. To go back to that first love we had. That matures us in faith. That grows us in experience and understanding. It says in Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." He saved His people. Boy, we rejoice. Verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also," in those hardships, and that pain, that suffering. Not the tribulation itself, not the trial itself, but in Christ who sent the trial. The one who sent the tribulation to us. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. All these trials will be brought again. Wait on the Lord. And patience, experience. We waited on Him last time. We're going to have to wait on Him this time. And guess what's going to happen the next trial that the Lord sends our way? We're going to have to wait on the Lord, ain't we? We start experiencing that. That gives us a little bit of relief when it first starts coming, doesn't it? If trial first shows up to us. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. Hope. See, those trials, it just exposes our weakness. Shows us what we are. What we're able to do, which is nothing. And we're made to rest all of our hope and our Savior that saved us. Rest in Him who laid down His life for us, who suffered our greatest trial already for us. The wrath of God, what we earned, what we deserved in our room instead. He suffered that. I'm required to die. Do you know that? In Psalm 116, it says, precious is the death of His saints. That's not plural. It's not precious as each death of all His saints. There's one death. One death that's pleasing to the Lord. It's precious to the Father. That's for me, that's for you, for each one of His people. And that's the death of His Son. That propitiation, that satisfactory blood sacrifice. If we consider that the Lord saved us from eternal damnation, the eternal wrath of God that we've earned, do you think He'll keep us through a trial that He sent? When we're given that incorruptible seed that trusts our Redeemer, we will not be made ashamed in Him. When we're given that hope, we have that patience and experience and then the hope to look only to Christ, we're not going to be ashamed. He won't be found a failure. Look here in verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We need trials to ever remind us that the love of God is what saved us. The love of God convicted us of the sin that we are. The love of God convicted us that Christ is the only righteousness He will accept. And the love of God just warmed our souls in the knowledge that all that judgment's been fulfilled in Him. He's completed everything. Look here in 2 Corinthians 13. Christ worked in and for His people, and His faith given to us is our eternal life, and it will be proven to you and I who are called by Him, to His children. He's going to prove it to us. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. For though He was crucified through weakness, how was He weak? He was made a man just like me. He was made a human, wasn't He? Born of a woman. And he bore the full wrath of God as that man. Yet He liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him. For Christ's glory and for our good, for our sakes, we're alive in Him, but we're weak in this flesh. So that we can see His power working in us. But we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Boy, it'd be hard to get down to brass tacks. You want somebody to pray? Put them in a life or death situation. Bring them down to their knees. You want them to examine their faith? Do the same thing. Dangle them over the edge of a cliff. Examine yourselves. How's your faith? When it comes down to it, I don't have any. I don't have any. Where's your strength? I don't have any. There's nothing in me. My faith's not of me, it's the faith of Christ in me. Any strength I have, any power I have to take my next breath is not of me, it's of Christ living in me and working in me. It says there, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Prove it. He has to be in me. If I have life, it has to be in Him. Every time I examine myself, I just see my lack of strength. And I see my need of His sufficient grace. And we need to see that. We need to have that experience. We need to start getting a little used to it, because trials are going to come. He said there in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Not you probably will, not you might have some. You shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. How can I be of good cheer over that? Hard times are coming. Talk about a Great Depression. It's going to be in here. It's coming. Why would I be of good cheer? I have overcome the world. Our Redeemer's overcome the trial. He's overcome the tribulation, overcome the world for His people. He overcame that law by fulfilling it. He overcame sin by being made sin. He overcame death by raising again from that grave. He's overcome the world because he sits at the right hand of his Father, ruling and reigning all things. James said, count it all joy when a trial comes, because you're going to be reminded by being brought through that trial that the trial of this world has been overcome. We see this one little trial. And we say, well, everything else has been overcome. He overcome this trial, he overcome the world. The law, sin, death, the grave has all been overcome by Christ. And the trial is what brings us in remembrance of that. Brings us to remember that. What a blessing. That's a gift, isn't it? We have all this treasure, this knowledge of His excellency in earthen vessels. In this old clay pot. Right here. He gave it to us. Why would He put it in this? In this broke down vessel. This clay pot. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That sounds like He's proving it to us, doesn't it? He's proven to us. We're not able. He is. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. And we're always bearing about in the body, in this body right here, the dying of the Lord Jesus. I have a rough day. I mean, something hard comes to me. And I think everybody's picking on me. How'd they pick on my Lord? Boy, it's nothing, is it? And I think of this body that aches, pains I have that won't go away. How much did He hurt and suffer in His body? And if it's real bad, if it's a real bad pain, a real bad emotional distress, I think He bore the wrath of God for me. We're brought back to remember that first love, and we're renewed day by day. Day by day. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, while we look not at things which are unseen, which are seen. When are we renewed day by day? While we look not at things which are seen. We're not renewed when we're looking around us, are we? When we're looking at this world. Well, we're renewed when we look at things which are unseen. When we look in. What a gift of hope. Each of these things allow us to see in the flesh that our eternal hope is secure. When today's secured, when He's secured today, I'm reminded again, our eternal hope is secure in Him. That's what Paul had this thorn in the flesh to remind him of. Christ is all. Christ is our security. He's our hope. Those three Hebrew children, that's what they're reminded of. They got thrown in that fire. Nebuchadnezzar cast them in there. They understood what was to come. They had an understanding of it, but they experienced it through that trial. You think they trusted Christ a little more when they come out of them flames? They didn't smell like smoke? They trusted Him before. They trusted Him a little more then, didn't they? Noah believed in the Lord. He trusted Him. Believed in His grace, His sustaining power. But whenever those rains started coming, when he was sealed in that ark and that ark started floating up, he experienced it more, didn't he? Job knew those things. I'll take a side note. People argue over when Job was saved. In Job 1, it said he was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. That's good enough for me. I don't know when Job was saved. I know God said he feared God and eschewed evil. But he said, the Lord's given and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He feared God before, but now he's experienced it. A little bit closer to Him. In our lives, many times we're given the sufficient grace to bear through a trial whenever we want to go home. I might be speaking for myself only. There's been some trials I've sent. I said, Lord, take me now. I have dying grace. I'm ready to go home now. Take me out of this world. And you know what He did? He gave me the sufficient grace to live. To keep on breathing it. He gave that to us. And I imagine, when that day comes and it's time to go home, and I think, Lord, let me stay here a little longer. I've got children and hopefully grandbabies and everything else to look after. Lord, keep me here a little bit longer. He'll give the sufficient grace to die. He'll give dying grace, same as He gives living grace every day. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, this one right now, and the same one that's to come, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not my faith that does it. It's the faith of Him, His faith, His strength, and His grace that gets us through. He performed everything for us. He trusted the Father fully. He obeyed the law perfectly. He was the fruit of the Spirit. Everything that we hope and desire to walk in this world and live towards our brethren, towards all mankind, to have dwelling in us, He was in perfection fully. And He also suffered. He endured pain. He endured affliction. And He said, remember the word what I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. That's physical trials, emotional trials, any trial we'd go through. It's what this world has to offer for us. Nothing but sadness and pain and regret and anxiety. And we're made to know that. It's proven to us. But through these trials, we trust the Lord more, we honor Him more, and we desire to be more obedient. More obedient in thanksgiving. More obedient in praise. More obedient in our walk in this world. I want to be kinder. I want to love more. I want to be more merciful to my brethren. And we're taught through those, He's faithful and His grace is sufficient. Now back in our text here in 2 Corinthians 12. He says in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. When I'm made weak, when I'm made to look to Him, that's when you're really strong. That's what Paul prayed for those in Ephesians, in Ephesus. He said, I pray that the Lord strengthen your inner man. I told you I had about 80 muse praying. That man said, pray for Lord, gives me wisdom. He said, Lord, be hard on me, on this young man. He said, what are you doing? He said, that's how you get it. I want to know that the Lord's grace is sufficient. Well, how He's going to prove that to us, it's going to be a bumpy road. But He's with us the whole way. He sent the trial, and we'll be looking to Him and glorifying Him at the end of it. John Bunyan wrote this about his 12 years in prison. He said, I never had in all my life so great an insight into the Word of God as now. In so much that I've often said, were it lawful, I could pray for greater trouble for the greater comfort's sake. As we age in this life, and what 40 short years I've been on this earth, I've learned when a trial comes, I'll see Christ at the end of it. And then I forget. And I say, woe is me. And I cry and I hurt. I look all around me. And then I'm brought to look to Him. He was faithful. His grace was sufficient. When we see Christ, we're made to look to Him and see that His grace is sufficient for all these temporal things that we go through on this earth. Then we're reminded once again that especially for our eternal salvation, that eternal trial we have, He'll bring us through that. His grace is sufficient. And what comfort and what peace is experienced when we know that, when we look to Him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together.